how can we be a church, a people who are more responsive to the call of God, more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, more ready to risk and to take initiative for the advance of the gospel?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I would imagine we've got a great number of people listening today who say, I would love to be useful to God and increasingly useful to Him, but who am I to be useful to God? I don't even know how to begin.
Yeah, but isn't that a marvelous thing to be saying? If you are saying today that I would love to be more useful to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, God bless you. That is a marvelous place for you to be. But, you know, I find, Steve, that a lot of people have the idea that, you know, there's something that I've got to do in order for me to be useful.
Got to
go
to seminary or
something. Go to a seminary, have an education, be through a training program. Some door of opportunity has got to open for me.
Yeah.
What we're going to look at today is that the very first thing in terms of usefulness to Christ is not to do with any activity at all or any training at all. It's to do with our own character. That's where we're starting in the life of Timothy. It's who he was. And when you look at the qualifications for Christian leadership, they're all about character. Everything flows from a person's walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the person you become as a result of walking daily in his presence. And the good news there is that that's a place that we can all begin.
Well, let's begin by looking at Acts chapter 15 as we begin a message called The Calling. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're beginning a new series that I think is really very important both for us as Christians individually and for us as a body together. It's called The Apostle's Apprentice, Lessons from the Bible in Life and in Ministry. And I've been studying the life of Timothy off and on for some time earlier this year. I was fascinated to discover that Timothy is named in no less than 11 New Testament letters, and in addition, of course, the book of Acts. So really following Timothy's life and his ministry is a wonderful way to explore the New Testament. Now, we begin here today in Acts chapter 15, and I hope you'll have your Bible open there at verse 36, where we find the setting of Timothy's call to ministry. And I'm going to pause here just for a few moments and make some observations from the scripture, because I think that it has some resonance for us and that there are some things to be observed here that are important and helpful. So if you have your Bibles open at Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And we take up the story at a point in the book of Acts where we're told about an honest disagreement between two godly men about how the work of the gospel should best go forward. That's what we have here. The two men, of course, are Paul and Barnabas, and they had been close colleagues and partners in ministry for a long time. They had had a fruitful and a happy partnership. In fact, you can trace it through the book of Acts. If you go back to chapter 9 and verse 27, you will discover that it was Barnabas who introduced Paul to the apostles at Jerusalem, the first time he met them. Paul and Barnabas, we find in chapter 11 and verse 26, spent a whole year in ministry together at a place called Antioch. And in chapter 13 and verse 2, we find that the church in Antioch commissioned the two of them to go out in partnership together as a missionary team sent out by the Antioch church. If you follow Paul's first missionary journey that he shared with Barnabas, you will see that they saw miracles of God happen together. You will also see that they experienced persecution for the sake of the gospel together. It was a good, strong, fruitful partnership. But then we come to Acts in chapter 15 and verse 36. Now, I hope you have your Bible open in front of you. I want you to see this. It's time to launch out into the next chapter of ministry, and there is an honest disagreement between these two godly men about what they should do. Look at verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Now, this is an honest disagreement. Barnabas wanted to take Mark. By the way, Barnabas was Mark's cousin. So there was personal loyalty and relationship here that was a very important factor in the things that happened. Barnabas wanted to take Mark, but Paul didn't think that was wise. That's what the scripture tells us. Mark had been with them for part of the first missionary journey, but it hadn't worked out well. Mark had either become discouraged or perhaps he had become ill. Perhaps he did not have the stomach for the work. But for whatever the reason, he quit when they were in Pamphylia, got on a boat and went home. Now, you can imagine this situation. It's easy to understand. Barnabas says, "Now look, Paul. Mark is a good man. I know he didn't cut it last time, but let's give him a second chance." And Paul says, "Now look, Barnabas, no, that's not the right way to go. It didn't work out before, so let's recognize the reality and let's not make the same mistake twice." Now, these are two godly men, and they just couldn't agree. Dr. Howard Marshall, in his commentary on the book of Acts, I think has a very insightful piece here. He says, this is the classic example of the perpetual problem of whether to place the interests of the individual or the interests of the work as a whole first. You see, he's saying all the way through Christian ministry and in many other spheres of life, you face this tension. Do you put the interests of the individual first? Or do you put the interests of the work first? And there's always tension over how to resolve that. Barnabas was more concerned for the interests of Mark, the individual. We should take Mark with him. It'll help him. He can contribute. Paul was more concerned about the interests of the work. We have to move forward. Now, who was right? Well, the New Testament doesn't tell us. And frankly, in this situation here, it doesn't matter, at least for us now. But here is what is important for us today, and I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit preserved this story in the Bible for us and for good reason. The whole church needs to know what we learn through this story that the Holy Spirit has preserved in the Scripture. Remember, the Holy Spirit didn't need to include this in the book of Acts. Could have just skipped over it. And it's in here for a reason. Let me suggest that one reason is that we all need to know that there will be times when godly men have genuine disagreements about how the work of the gospel should best move forward. And if that can't be resolved, it may cause them to part company. And if that happens, you should not become unsettled in your faith. See, imagine what it would have felt like if you were a member of the Church of Antioch at this time. See, if I was in the congregation at Antioch 2,000 years ago, and I'd heard this news, I would have been thinking like this. Boy, we sent Paul and Barnabas out together. We commissioned them to be a missionary team. And God has used them together. And now these two men are going off in different directions. And some of the members of the congregation in Antioch must have thought, this is going to be the ultimate disaster. And of course, the book of Acts tells us that God's grace brought a better outcome. Barnabas, we're told here, went with Mark, who ended up writing the second gospel, and who knows how many millions have come into the kingdom of Christ by reading Mark's gospel, which I'm told is the first gospel usually to be translated, and therefore the first gospel that many people who've never heard will actually read. And this left the Apostle Paul looking for a new apprentice, which opened the door for Timothy, which is the story we're going to follow over these next weeks from the scriptures together. And by the way, for our encouragement, in Paul's last letter, which he wrote to Timothy, and we'll come to it in a few weeks' time, it's fascinating that in the very last chapter, he says to Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him to me because he's useful in my ministry." I don't know when it happened, and it may have taken some time, but there evidently was wonderful reconciliation and partnership in the gospel. Now, the story continues in chapter 16, where we're told that Paul came to Derbe and then came to Lystra, where a disciple called Timothy lived. And this is the first reference we ever have to Timothy in the New Testament. Lystra was his home. And Paul had come there on one occasion before. You can read about it in chapter 14. Boy, that was a tough call, Lystra. Some folks stirred up opposition to Paul in Lystra to the point where he was stoned. I mean, people threw stones at him. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was stoned, and his body was dragged outside the walls of the city. He was left for dead, except that a few believers gathered around him. In the mercy of God, he revived. He was taken back into the city and moved on the next day. So Lystra held painful memories for the Apostle Paul. He suffered there. But out of his pain came an advance for the gospel. Timothy had come to Christ. His mother had come to Christ. Perhaps his father too. That's not entirely clear from the text. A church had been born. And now Paul comes back to see how these believers are doing. And he runs into Timothy. And the story that we're going to follow is how he takes Timothy under his wing and Timothy becomes the apostle's apprentice.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and the very first message in our series, The Apostle's Apprentice, it's called The Calling, and we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. Hope you'll stay with us. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. If you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Acts, chapters 15 and 16. Let's get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, I want to focus this morning in this first message on discerning God's calling for our lives. And let me frame a question this way. What does it take for us to be increasingly useful to Christ and to his kingdom? What would it take for you or for me to be more useful to our Lord Jesus Christ in the future than we have been in the past? What would it take for us as a church to be more fruitful, more useful in the hands of Christ? What should we pursue individually and together if we are to be more useful for Christ and for his kingdom? How can we be a church, a people who are more responsive to the call of God, more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, more ready to risk and to take initiative for the advance of the gospel? Now, I want to suggest three things that we can learn from the example of Timothy as we find it in the scriptures here. The first is simply the whole business of reputation. Reputation. And we're talking here about the ability to position yourself for growing usefulness to Christ. The ability for you or for us to position yourself, ourselves, for growing usefulness to Christ. Now, I think we see this with regards to Timothy in verse 2 of chapter 16, where we're told that the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. They spoke well of him. That's his reputation. They spoke well of him. Now, your reputation, very simply, is what the people who God has placed over you and around you would say about you if they were speaking candidly. Your reputation, it is what the people God has placed over you and around you would say of you if they were speaking candidly. And reputation matters, especially for those who are being trusted with responsibility in the church and in the advance of the gospel. Pastors, missionaries, elders, leaders. What should we look for in such people? Well, we'll see it later in the series again in 1 Timothy, because Paul tells Timothy, when he has become a pastor himself later in his life journey, what he should look for in appointing elders. And if you look through the list there, you'll find that one of the key things that he says is you're to look for someone with a good reputation. A good reputation, that matters. Look at that. Look for someone who is above reproach. Look for people who have modeled effective leadership within their own family circle, because how a man has managed his own family will tell you a great deal about what he's likely to do in the church. Your reputation matters. And the first thing that made Timothy a good candidate to be the apostle's apprentice was that the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. This is huge. Now let's apply it personally. If someone who knew you really well were asked to write a reference about you with regard to your usefulness in Christ's work, what would they say that might qualify you for greater usefulness, and what might they say that could hinder your greater usefulness in the work of Christ? I mean, let's take some of the qualifications first. Would people who know you well say that you are marked by self-control, by wise judgment, by courage, by perseverance? Would they say you are reliable, trustworthy, consistent? Would they say that you are caring, that you are compassionate? What about the hindrances? Would they say you're lazy? Would they say they're short-tempered, that you're a fair-weather follower, that you are easily discouraged? Would they say that you are self-centered? Would they say you're self-opinionated or even self-absorbed? See, everything you do and everything you say builds a track record that becomes your reputation. And reputation is one of the key factors that determines our future usefulness for Christ and for his kingdom. You want to be useful to Christ? People will want to know, what have you done? How did you handle it when it was tough? What fruit has come from your efforts? Reputation matters. Now, these are challenging things. Here's the encouragement. Reputations can change radically. Remember that at one time, Christian believers in the early world only knew one thing about Paul's reputation, that he was a blasphemer and a violent man. That was his reputation among all the churches. You heard of this man? He's a blasphemer and he's a violent man. Then the Spirit of Christ got hold of him. His life was transformed and he was known in an entirely different way. Now, there is no reputation that the Spirit of God cannot change. And let me offer this encouragement too, that you will be amazed how quickly your reputation can change when you begin to change your behavior. This is a wonderful principle of hope. People will quickly see where we are making progress. And where they see a person making progress, they will rejoice with that, and there will be great encouragement. So, I've framed this question, and with each of these questions, I've framed them first for myself and lived with them through this week, and now share them with you. Here's the first question. What change can you make that will cause you to be more useful to Christ? What change? Could you name just one? As you think of the sort of things that people would say might be hindrances to your increased usefulness to Christ, what change could you make that would position yourself for greater usefulness to Christ? One change. Now, this is a great discussion to have with someone who knows you well later today. Ask them, what do you see as one thing I could change? One area in which I could grow in order to be more useful to Christ? One thing that might hinder me, but If I could grow in it, I'd just be positioned better to be more useful to Jesus Christ. And when you ask them to be honest with you, ask someone who's not scared to tell you, right? And when they tell you, then ask God for the help to make that change. Now, that's the first thing, reputation, the ability to position yourself for growing usefulness to Christ. Here's the second, readiness. The ability to embrace change for the advance of the gospel. Readiness, The ability to embrace change for the advance of the gospel. Now, there's something very fascinating here in verse 3. Paul wanted, we're told, to take Timothy along on the journey. So, he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, just to explain this, his mother then is a Jewish believer, and his father is non-Jewish, a Greek. And so Timothy is a Jewish man, but coming from these parents, he has evidently not been circumcised, and the family are believers in Christ. And we're told that Paul circumcised Timothy before taking him on as the apprentice on this second missionary journey. So what's going on here? Why would Paul circumcise Timothy? I think the answer is quite simple. In chapter 15, Paul took a strong stand against those who were insisting on circumcision because he refused to change the gospel for the culture. But at the same time, Paul was also insistent on removing any barriers to communicating the gospel to the culture. And Paul's ministry was to Jews as well as it was to Gentiles. And when he goes on the second missionary journey, he doesn't want to be bogged down in endless debate about circumcision and whether Timothy should be circumcised or not. So as an act of freedom, he says, hey, let's just do this, and then it's not going to be an issue, and then we're going to be free in order to communicate the gospel. So you see, there are these two strands to faithfulness to the gospel. Never change the gospel for the sake of the culture. You don't change the gospel. But always be ready for change that will advance the gospel in the culture.
Well, it is so important to get that straight, isn't it? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called The Calling, part of our series, The Apostles' Apprentice. And today we're looking at the end of Acts chapter 15 and the first few verses of Acts 16. Next time we're going to continue this message, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a devotional book that Pastor Colin has written. It's called Waiting for the Lord, and Colin, what is this devotional book about?
Well, it's based on Isaiah and chapter 40, and one of the most marvelous promises in all of the scripture, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if God is going to speak to me about how I can have my strength renewed, I want to listen to what he has to say about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is for everybody because Isaiah says, you know, even those who are young will faint and become weary and fall exhausted. I mean, that's true. And I think we begin to feel that, especially at this time of year. You know, there's so much to do. And how am I going to get it all done? And here God speaks to us about how our strength can be renewed. And we want to hear how that happens. And he says it happens as we wait on him. And in this devotional, you'll see how waiting on the Lord actually involves hoping in him, looking to him, and how he gives strength. He actually imparts strength to match the particular challenges that we face at any point in life. So this is a great scripture to soak your mind and your heart in, and especially as we prepare for the celebration of the coming of the Lord at Christmas.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, is our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you want to discern the voice of God? Do you want to know how to be more responsive to his voice? Discover how next time on Open the Bible.